often, at least me, I won't speak for you, but I'm often the one teaching. Often we focus on what Jesus did and what the apostles taught. Right? We talk about Jesus, his crucifixion or his miracles. We tell the stories about this healing or that, and we rightly focus on the cross and the empty tomb, on his birth, all the things that Jesus did. And when it comes to the apostles, they're either following him around or we focus on what they taught. I mean, most of the rest of the New Testament after the Gospels is the teaching of the apostles about what to believe, how to be the church, how to follow Christ. But Jesus also taught a whole lot, and the apostles also did a whole lot. And for whatever reason, at least in my mind, those two things kind of get less attention. It's all important, right? What Jesus taught, what Jesus did was all to support what he was teaching. And he came to announce and to proclaim and to teach about the kingdom of God, that it was here and not yet here, and that his ministry and his life and his death, it all was to announce the arrival of the kingdom of God. And even the things he did, his miracles, his parables, it was all to explain and to point to God's power breaking down into this world. The miracles were all framed that way. This is God's kingdom breaking in and setting right all that is wrong. It's the story of God's kingdom. His death, his resurrection had everything to do with God's kingdom, right? That message, what Jesus taught. The apostles also did some things, right? So in Acts, we have the story of the church beginning, and this chapter 3 is one story of something the apostles did. It's the story of Peter and John interacting with a man, doing their own miracle in the name of Jesus, right? They're not necessarily in teaching mode, they're in doing mode. So as we focus today on what it means to serve God, that is what we do out of our faith, I want to look at this story with you. Interestingly, the first passage we read from Matthew 10, those were the marching orders he gave to his followers. And did you catch all that? I mean, he said to them, as you go, he's expecting them to go, right? One day, he's not going to be with them. Go out. I'm sending you into the world. He says, go out and preach this message. The kingdom of God is at hand. It's the same message Jesus spent most of his time preaching. He says, go preach that. And here's what I want you to do while you're preaching that message. It's the same pattern Jesus followed. Do these miraculous signs in the name of God. Heal the sick. Raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. And then he gives this instruction that explains a little bit of Acts 3. He says, don't look for payment. Don't collect gold or silver or copper or even a bag, a suitcase, right? Just take the clothes on your back and go do this thing. So those were their marching orders. And we come now to Acts 3, beyond the gate. Peter and John, we read in that story that they are on their way to the temple to pray. You might have this picture of the early church huddling in houses, doing churchy things, but at least that first generation, they also were in the habit, the Jewish Christians were in the habit of still doing the Jewish things. They were trying to understand and interpret all that Jesus had said and done. So they still regularly were going to the temple to pray. In fact, they likely did that all the way until the temple was destroyed about a generation later. But they were on their way to pray at the temple. And on the way, and I found this picture of our church just so you could kind of imagine this, there was this man begging outside the gate, outside the door to the temple, as if you had parked this morning and you were getting ready to walk in the wooden doors and there was somebody with a nice little stool and a bag and a sign asking for help. I don't know about you, I would feel pretty awkward about that. What do you do? I mean, if someone were that close to our front door, it'd be pretty hard to ignore. Or you might run in and tell me and tell an usher. So it'd be pretty hard just to turn a blind eye or go in a far door. What I think, again, I won't speak for you. What I might do many times is stop and help and try to do it as quickly as possible. Are you hungry? What, can I give you $20 and get you on your way? I mean, the one thing I would probably be least likely to do, and I am not holding this up as an example, is sit down, be late to start church, and have a conversation or interact or learn the person's story or anything else. So this is an interesting story to wrestle with. I mean, they were not in charge of prayer at the temple. Well, let's say it was one of you. In fact, I wasn't going to say this. I think last Sunday, I saw one of you sitting down with somebody not in the worship service because you were doing just the kind of thing going on here, taking time to interact with somebody around a need that they have. It is important to worship, to pray. It's essential to the faith. But the Lord also says, if he has put someone in your path, mercy and compassion are the order of the day, and stop and take time, see what's going on. I put this picture up just to help give a visual image, because I think it is the case, again, it is for me, that it is so easy to divide my spiritual life into what happens in here and then life out there. Right? I realize I work here. But even when I wasn't a pastor, it is easy, I think, for Christians to think of, I'm a Christian, here's my faith, and it happens when I get to church. And we, even if we have a desire for faith to be part of our life outside the doors, it's a struggle sometimes to figure out what that looks like. Do I, you know, if I'm Eric, do I take my worship sheets to lunch down there in Fort Mill and burst into "I Could Sing of Your Love Forever" while he's waiting on his lunch to come? Do you take the bulletin with you to lunch today and recreate the service? What does it mean to carry our faith out into the world? And so there's this natural divide, this gate, right, between faith in here and faith out there. And yet God says, and we've talked about this before, that this isn't the church, this building. You are the church. We are the church. I mean, the gate, the door, the building, the carpet, that is just an artificial construct for you, the church, to do God's work, to gather and worship, and to go and serve. Today we're talking about go and serve. Jesus went to the temple. He went to synagogue, but he spent most of his ministry beyond the gate, at the waterside in Capernaum, interacting with fishermen and crowds, visiting tax collector booths, walking the roads between cities, to go proclaim this message about God's kingdom. So the Peter and John said to this man, "We don't have any silver and gold to give you, but we do have something, and we want to give that to you." And that's where it's easy for me to disconnect from the story. Not because I don't like the story. It's very moving, and I love reading miracle stories. But if I'm trying to emulate them, or if this is an example for service, this is where I say, I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to heal people who can't walk. Much less, did you catch in the first list we're supposed to go raise the dead? So I want to ask the question, what do we have? Peter and John said, "We don't have silver and gold, but what we do have we'll give you." What is it that we have? And I'm going to be honest, this part of the story just raises a whole series of questions for me, right? They fixed their gaze, told the man to look at them in the eye, and said, "We don't have silver and gold, but what we do have we give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Nazarene, get up and walk." He was healed. He started jumping and praising, right? Wonder, amazement. The people knew exactly who he was. They were filled with wonder and amazement. So, what do I have to give? Well, it turns out I do have money. Don't have much silver and gold, per se. And it is right sometimes. If someone is hungry, somebody needs food or a meal or some gas, that's one of the ministries we do. We do offer financial aid. But this story suggests that there's something more we're to do to serve people. healing. I believe God can do anything, but I have not yet been a part of a supernatural, miraculous healing. My quick go-to would be, well, I know about Jesus. I can talk about that. It was interesting. Eric and I were planning the music for today, and I really got stuck on this about a week ago when we first looked at it. And I said, there are a lot of songs that talk about Jesus being better than silver or gold, right? There's the gospel hymn, I'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold. What was the other one? It's very similar to that. Give Me Jesus also has a verse about being better than silver and gold. I'm like, that's not what happened in this story. They didn't say, hey, buddy, sorry we don't have any money, but let me tell you about Jesus. We've been following him around for a couple of years, and you just need to sit through our sermon here. So I sent a message to Eric last week saying, it doesn't necessarily make sense to do those hymns because they're pointing to something that isn't the part of the story. And I haven't found any hymns that say, I'd rather be healed than have silver or gold. I mean, that is probably true, but there's just not, you know, go raise the dead instead of silver and gold. There's just not that body of work out there. Well, Eric probably would have set me straight, but I discovered the day before we were going to talk through the music, I kept reading in Acts. It's always a good idea if you're stuck on something. I kept reading in Acts, and the very next verse, verse 11, Peter and John don't start preaching to the man, but the whole crowd that were amazed at what had happened, Peter then turns to them and starts telling the story of who Jesus was, who is the power behind this miraculous thing that happened. Right? And he explains Jesus in turn. He starts with the covenant with Abraham and walks through the whole story up through Jesus about God keeping his covenant and the kingdom of God arriving. That's the same pattern that Jesus did in his ministry. It wasn't about the miracle. It was about the story of God's kingdom. And the miracle pointed to the power of God breaking into this world. So that at least solved my dilemma about the music. We're like, oh, there are songs now. We can talk about Jesus. It's okay. But it left me saying, well, what is the story here? Right? How are we supposed to serve beyond the gate? So Peter talks about Jesus. God's promise in the Old Testament, the story of that kingdom that was to break in. In the Old Testament, God said, when that happens, the lame will walk, the blind will see, the oppressed will be set free. Now, all the prophets in the Old, they describe this time of God's kingdom among us and what that looks like. And Jesus picked that up and declared it with power and lived it with power out into the world. So that's the message that we carry as well. So I want to, I put on the side of the slide there just a few kind of subtopics about what it might look like to serve beyond the gate. The first is just that. The kingdom of God is a message about what God is doing, but it is displayed in acts of service, of helping those who, whether it's literally can't walk or see, or those who spiritually or figuratively are stuck or trapped or blocked. It is becoming involved with people's lives to open them up to the kingdom of God. On charity, this passage doesn't say don't give money to someone in need. It just said Peter and John didn't have any, and they offered what they did have. I think one of the real ways we as a church do and should serve our neighbors and those in need is financially. And so our deacons and the church does help with food and rent and electricity. But just like this act of service, we do that out of godly compassion, out of our love for Christ, because we believe Christ sends us into the world to serve it as a sign of God's kingdom breaking in. On the message, because Peter and John went on to talk about Jesus, I think there is a proper balance, and I think you know it when you see it, between we don't want to miss the connection between serving, loving our neighbor, and the God who is the source of that. Right? We don't miss the opportunity to explain or to point to God. But neither do I think it's an error to make our love conditional on someone sitting down and hearing the message. We never want to say, well, if you'll come to our church 5 times, then we'll help you with your medical bill. Right? The example is always show compassion and see if God grants an opportunity to give the glory to God. Right? It's never a means to an end. It is a together with. And that is winsome, right? To genuinely, sincerely love someone with the love of Christ. That will open far many more hearts and doors to hearing about God than doing it as kind of to get my foot in the door. Right? You understand that distinction. If you've ever been on the receiving end of it, you definitely know the distinction. And it then invalidates the compassion, right? You think, they didn't care about me at all. They were just trying to weasel their way in to give me the tract or get me to come to their church. Jesus says it is true love for the world. That is the kingdom of God. And the more clearly you do that, the more clearly you display the kingdom itself. True compassion is inviting and will often open up an opportunity for words. Location, I was going to say location, 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 because that's, you know, the real estate thing, but it wouldn't fit on my slide. What I want to say about this is all of this happened with this man on the other side of the gate, happened out there, not in here. That's the main point. Don't limit the expression of your Christian faith, your Christian obedience, your Christian ministry and service. Don't limit it to when you come here. It is wonderful for you to sing in the choir or go to Sunday school or serve on a committee. But Christian service, obedience to Christ, starts at the door as you go out. And this story highlights that. Don't miss the fact, however, that Peter and John were also going to worship, to pray in the temple. It is important what we do in here. This is what frames our mission for us. This is what keeps the fire of our love for God burning bright, is worship of God. So it's both and. We gather to worship, to be sent to serve. So I would simply say this as a challenge to you. Go out today and every time we gather, go out with your eyes open, your hearts open. I pray for that before the sermon most weeks. Take time to notice. It's so easy for me to just walk past life, right? Or walk past because I'm checking this, doing this. Notice the world around you, the people around you, the lives and the situations around you. God, that's where God opens opportunities for us. It's when we notice those around us. Allow generosity and compassion to win the day for you, not being jaded and cynical. Well, there's another person just asking for food out on the corner. So easy just to write that off. If you're gonna err in the direction of being generous and compassionate, when you do that, when you show compassion, whether it's efficient or not, whether it's a good use of the silver and gold, when you do it, you invite people to see God. And that's more important than the money. When God provides you an opportunity, don't be afraid to explain the hope within you. Peter and Paul this day were a good example. Sometimes the disciples are not good examples for us. This day they were a good example of headed to worship, recognized a need, prioritized that, gave what they could, which was a miraculous display of the kingdom. And when God opened up an opportunity for all those who saw that to happen, they spoke of the hope within them, God's story of salvation in the world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, would you give us ears to hear this word, and as we go forth, eyes to see, and hearts to notice and be open to the need around us. We thank you that you have loved us generously. Help us to give likewise. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.